So good afternoon, everyone. I've given a testimony before here, but today is going to be a bit different. It's something that I've not spoken about before. A few months ago, I was talking to John about this part of my life, and John, I'm pleased that he's asked me to speak and talk about this part of my life, because I think maybe before I wasn't quite ready, but now I feel ready to talk about it. Now, I'd just like to say a quick prayer, actually. Dear Sovereign Lord, Creator of all things, our Father, I just ask you please to have your will done here today. Help me to speak things that are in accordance with your will. And please protect us also. And let all things be for your praise and your glory. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So you probably know I was part of a controlling pseudo-Christian group until I was about 27. But what you don't know is what happened next. Now, like Adam and Eve in the garden... Oh, my PowerPoint, is that not on? Oh, great. Next one. Like Adam and Eve in the garden, Satan whispered in my ear at that point, and he said, "You don't have to obey God anymore. You can be the judge yourself of what's right and wrong. And don't worry, no harm will come to you." Now, I didn't know that was the devil, but I'd had so much of being cautious that then, at that point in my life, I threw caution to the wind, really. And I rejected God of the Bible. I rejected the Bible. I rejected Jesus Christ. And I didn't want to know anything about it. And you see, since being a little girl, I could see spirit beings and people's auras. So, who here has been to Higher Falls Chippy? Has anybody been? The Chippy on Higher Falls? Yeah. I'm going to tell you a little quick story about Higher Falls Chippy. When I was about 9, my mum worked in the Chippy, and I was going to meet her after a shift, and she was still serving people, so I went into the back room. And when I went into the back room, there was a man standing there with, he was plucking chickens. And he had this pinafore on, and I remember him having grey hair. And I walked up to him and I said, "What are you doing?" Because it was all quite weird to me. Never seen anything like it. And he just smiled and looked at me. And when I went back into the front, I said to my mum, "Who's that man in the back?" And she said, "What man?" And when we went back through, there was nothing there. It's just potatoes. And it was strange, but it wasn't the first time I'd seen a spirit, and it wouldn't be the last time. So at age 27, just left that Christian group, I thought, right, I'll explore everything. Spirituality, Buddhism, Hinduism, all sorts. And eventually I ended up at the Spiritualist Church. So at the Spiritualist Church, I was like, you know what, I know that if I try and talk to spirit beings that I will be able to do it. So I did, and it resulted in me doing, like, you know, standing up and giving people messages from the spirit world. Now, for most people, that's where their story would end, kind of, if they're getting into things of that nature. Some people stay in the Spiritualist Church for many years. But the devil whispered in my ear again, and he basically said, "You can be like God." So I wanted more power, really. More of it. So that's what led me into investigating witchcraft. So witchcraft and general paganism is one of the fastest growing religious trends now in the world. You probably know someone who has beliefs in that kind of thing, and they reject the Bible and they embrace other gods. So for me, it was all fascinating and mystical and exciting, you know. And I thought, oh, I can make things happen, you know. I didn't think I was into anything dark at all. Do pagans, you know, pagans, witches is kind of, they go alongside each other. So do pagans curse people? Some do, but I didn't. Do some of them... sacrifice animals? That's one of the biggest, like, misconceptions. Well, actually, mostly no. One or two might, that's their thing, but I never saw anything like that. Usually sacrifices are kind of symbolic or in some other way. It seemed harmless because we were celebrating seasonal festivals, so it's called the Wheel of the Year, and we were observing the seasons, which actually isn't wrong in itself, because it's nice to say, oh yeah, spring's here, isn't that lovely, etc. You know, it's the solstice, Yeah, that's not bad in itself, because actually that brings us closer to nature that God created, you know. But I found a witch's coven not far from here, strangely enough. And I trained with them for a year as like a neophyte, they call it, witch. And then after the year, I became part of the main coven group. So I had a full initiation ritual, which meant that I was bound hand and foot and blindfolded and led into a room, and various other things happened. And at that time, I was introduced to some spirit beings who were called the Watchers. And something changed, as you might imagine, in my life then, spiritually. Because I was given permission to these things, obviously, at that time. And I'm not glamorising this at all. What I'm telling you the story for a reason. It's going to become clear, of course. But what I didn't realise at that time is about what it says at 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 19 to 22. Oh, yeah, that's me. You see that picture of me then? I didn't mention it. I should have done. But, yeah, 1 Corinthians 10, it says about the pagans. What do I imply then, that food offered to idols is anything, or that an idol is anything? No, I imply that what pagans sacrifice, they offer to demons and not to God. I do not want you to be participants with demons. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons. You cannot partake of the table of the Lord and the table of demons. So interacting with spirit beings, you're never sure who you're interacting with or what you're interacting with. Now, I now believe that they were demonic spirits, but at the time I thought they were just forces of nature, because I met spirit beings who seemed so powerful that I believed that they were gods just by the power they were emitting. And I believed that the gods were just forces that we put names to. And actually, at the time, pitied Christians, because I felt like Christians didn't really know much and their God was just one of the gods, you know. And all the morality in paganism is that you choose, and the only morality is that you harm none. But when you're in spiritual blindness, harming none is what you decide, and it can be, you know, it can go wrong, put it that way. In Romans chapter 1, verse 25, this verse applies to those who are in paganism. It says that they exchanged the truth about God for a lie and worshipped and served created things rather than the Creator, who is forever praised. Amen. This is a really important point, because God, the Creator, is sovereign. Not ourselves, and certainly not his created beings who've rebelled against him. So going back to my story, I was still a medium and a practicing witch, and I just want to mention something about mediums now. Yeah, that's Whoopi Goldberg in the as a medium. Now, you could be thinking, right, oh, it's all silly, really, and it's not real. This woman's a nuts, basically, you know. But you couldn't be more wrong, actually, because some mediums are fake and charlatans, but I wasn't. And even now, sometimes I'm in Lee and someone will walk up to me and say, oh, darn, you're still doing those readings. I remember when you told me this and you told me that and the other. And at least that's an opportunity for me to talk to them about Jesus, you know. When I was a medium, I didn't really know where I was getting the information from. And I had a spirit guide who was a little girl who wore a white dress, and she would dance around, and it all seemed really nice and light. And mediums will sometimes tell you things that are true, but it's always mixed with other things that are not true and that are misleading. So you'll be blown away by the fact that they know certain things, but then they'll be telling you things that are going to probably take you down a very bad path. Going to a medium, I think, is like talking to a demon. Now, in Deuteronomy chapter 18, we see sort of what God thinks about these things. And it's good to review it, because it includes other things as well on this same topic to show what God feels about it. It says there, when you enter the land which your Lord, the Lord your God gives you, you shall not learn to imitate the detestable things of those nations. There shall not be found among you anyone who makes his son or daughter pass through the fire, one who uses divination, one who practices witchcraft, or one who interprets omens, or a sorcerer, or one who casts a spell, or a medium, or a spiritist, or one who calls on the dead. For whoever does these things is detestable to the Lord, and because of these detestable things, the Lord your God will drive them out before you. Now, in those verses, the word for sorcerer in Hebrew also means astrologer. So this also includes astrology. Medium means in Hebrew a human vessel used for spirit ventriloquism. And one who calls on the dead, even if you're not a medium and practicing things, it actually says one who calls on the dead is a person who visits a medium for a reading. The word in Hebrew for abomination or a detestable thing is toebar, and that means something defiled, unclean. And the verse, other verses in the Bible say that we're defiled by these things. So it's not a bit of fun, and it's not entertainment. It's serious. And if you allow these things into your life, it can have a very bad effect and yields bad fruit in your life. Now, I know someone who was an atheist who was sort of struggling with it all, saying, oh, it doesn't exist, you know. And she sat there one day and invited the devil into her life just to see what happened. And she said to me, oh, nothing happened. Rubbish. But a few years later, she was an alcoholic, smoking, taking cocaine and amphetamines, and her life had gone to pieces. And it's good, actually, that she's going to be a wonderful testimony, because just recently she prayed with me to submit her life to Jesus. And I know that God's working in her life. So praise God. Yeah. But don't be misled. John 10:10 says the devil comes to steal, kill and destroy. Now you might be thinking, this doesn't apply to me because Christians don't practice witchcraft and we don't talk to mediums. But remember, the devil is really subtle. What are you welcoming into your home? What about television? We need discernment, really. We've got a Christian conscience. We make our decisions ourselves. But my view is, don't watch things that are demonic, that glorify the things of the devil, that glorify all of that stuff that seems mystical. You know, I was talking to Meadow in a really basic way about this topic, and she said something so amazing, I'm going to tell you it. I thought it was really appropriate. She said, you know, even though we're protected by God, she said, that doesn't mean that we should stand in the middle of the road and expect not to get knocked down. She actually said that. And I thought that was perfect. We can't stand in the middle of the road, spiritually speaking, and not expect to be harmed. Now, there's many things that can influence us and the church in general. A great teacher called A.W. Tozer gave a really useful guide on how to test whether something's from God or not. If something new is coming our way, how do we test it? I'll let him tell you, because he says it better than I could. He said, briefly stated, the test is this. This new doctrine, this new habit, this new view of truth, this new spiritual experience, how has it affected my attitude toward and my relation to God, Christ, the Holy Scriptures, self, other Christians, the world, and sin? By this sevenfold test, we may prove everything religious and know beyond a doubt whether it's of God or not. By the fruit of the tree, we know what kind of tree it is. So we have to ask about any doctrine or experience. What is this doing to me? And we know immediately whether it's from above or from below. And there's an online version of that entire article that I can post on SVC if anyone wants to read it all, because it's really great. So here's one example then. A movement I got into at the time is... next slide. The Law of Attraction, or The Secret. The Law of Attraction suggests, it's like a New Age idea, it suggests that your reality is created by you and by what you focus on. So if you want something to come in your life, you can sit there and imagine that thing and focus on it, and it will come into your life. Now, sadly, some of these ideas are coming into the churches where I've heard Christian teachers say, You can create your best life now. You can manifest a great life for yourself. Now, yeah, positive thinking's really good. We should do. And the Bible says to consider all things that are good and pure and right. But it's a different matter when you imagine that you're creating it and you're influencing your own reality, making yourself a creator. And in the test of, that Tozer gave, if I'm the creator, then God becomes less. I'm doing it. I can make things happen in my life. I don't need a saviour. And it can lead people to that kind of thinking. Just a bit of an example with Abraham. Abraham had been promised by God that he would be, his seed would be blessed. And he waited, and yet Sarah couldn't conceive. And, you know, Sarah went to him and she said, right, I want you to, have a child through the servant girl Hagar. And he did, because he was basically not waiting for the fulfillment of God's promise through Sarah. Now, it's easy for us, and we can understand why. We're forcing our own timing on something and thinking about what we want in our life and what our will is for our life and what we think is best. But God is sovereign, and he's over all things, and he sees the end from the beginning. So God saw to it in the end that Sarah conceived, even though she was really old, and Isaac was born. So the point I'm making is, are we willing to be led by where God wants us to be, and by God's will and by God's Holy Spirit? Can you wait patiently when things seem hard and trust, instead of these other ideas of trying to do it all yourself? Jesus said to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. So our focus, and my focus, needs to be on God and God's kingdom and his gift of righteousness that he's given to us. And then, like Abraham, we'll be blessed. So coming back to my story, I was in my early 30s at that point then, and I was a witch and a medium. And all of this kind of became like a drug to me, really. I'd had some pretty profound experiences, put it that way. And the coven wasn't enough for me anymore. So I left the coven and started to pursue deeper occultism. I eventually joined a group influenced by a man called Aleister Crowley, if you've ever heard of him. I started to read a lot of books on what's called the Western mystery tradition. And it goes into the Jewish Kabbalah and mysticism. It's not necessary for me to explain all of that, but suffice it to say, it was more intense than anything I'd done before. And I'm not going to say the name of the group, but basically I participated in some rituals which are called high magic, and it has similarities to Freemasonry. Yeah. So in my life in general, I was lost. This is before Meadow was born. None of this really satisfied me. And for a long time at the beginning, I'd felt all right and positive. But then I kind of lapsed down into depression. And I felt a lot of pain inside. And when I had that pain inside, I started to self-harm. And I also had a couple of suicide attempts. And sometimes I was attacked at night by spirit beings as well. And I was looking for the answer, really. What's the answer? Always learning so much. Lots of books and techniques and knowledge, so-called, you know. But I wasn't finding it, basically. And I was getting more and more confused as well. And if something's not of God, that's one of the ways to know, is if it causes confusion. God is not the author of confusion, you know. Now, in 2008, I had Meadow, and looking back, that was like a brighter time, because I focused upon her and had a reason to live, you know. But I was still into all of these things, and I still felt this pain inside, really. So I continued with it all, and I just knew there was something wrong, but I couldn't put my finger on it, because I still rejected the Bible and Jesus, you know. And I believed in the things that people say, like Jesus is a myth, you know, and he didn't even exist or whatever. And also, I started to believe what they teach, which is that we're like gods and goddesses inside. So I actually believed, seriously, that I was a goddess. You know, and thinking about what Tozer said, how does that affect your view of Almighty God? Well, clearly, I didn't need anyone, did I? I was a goddess, you know, and I'm more important than other people. Now, the devil will lead people further and further into things, you know, and I met a man then at that point who introduced me to a group that was invite only. They'd moved past the performance of rituals and they didn't need to do that anymore. And I won't say any more about that because I don't really want to say anything more about that. But I'll quote the Apostle Paul. He said that we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly places. And I'm living testimony that that is true. In his letter to the Colossians, Paul also referred to the domain of darkness. And believe me, there are some people, many people, who are still in that domain, whether they realise it or not. And here's a little illustration I'll use as to the influence that this can have. My world became so dark one day, I wondered why, it sounds weird this, but I wondered why I hadn't heard any birds singing. So I get up in the morning, I'm like, it's silent, there's no birds. And I went on the internet and actually asked people, why don't I hear birds singing? Is there something wrong? And it wasn't the season, you know, it was just weird. Is there something wrong, like with the population of birds or something? And I'm going to mention that again in a moment. But in the end, I was hurt by someone who was an occultist because, as you might imagine, sometimes it's not safe moving in those circles. And after that happened, I'd come to a kind of a rock bottom. Now, that was the point when I actually found an unusual pull to read the Bible again, you know, from nowhere. And I picked up the Bible one day and started to read the gospel accounts about Jesus. So at that time, praise God, God opened my eyes to his son. It was amazing. From going from a place of completely rejecting Jesus and the scriptures, and I didn't need him, I was suddenly became aware that Jesus is the truth. Now, I wasn't a Christian at that point straight away, but everything I read that Jesus said, everything that Jesus said, was the opposite of the things I'd been learning in the occult, down to all of the philosophies. So the selfishness, the striving to be a god, seeking for special spiritual experiences. But Jesus was a servant, and he told us to be humble like him and to focus upon the Creator and to praise the Creator, and offers us rest and peace. And I really, really wanted peace. You know, I really, really wanted to be away from all of this and have some peace. And I knew some Christians, so I invited them round to my house. And they actually prayed with me in my house and they told me about Jesus. And it was a message I'd not heard before in that way about submitting my life to Jesus. And when they'd gone, I got on my knees and I gave my life to the Lord. And I begged for forgiveness. Praise God. Really. Getting emotional now at this bit. Over the next week or so after that, I rid my house of everything relating to the occult. Statues, jewellery, over 100 books. That statue there, there is a reason why there's a black square on it. yeah. And I'd just like to say that if you've had any involvement in these things, get rid of the things out of your house that relate to it, whether it's tarot cards, whether it's statues or whatever it is that relates to this. Don't be influenced by them. Acts chapter 19:19 says how they burned all the books that related to spiritism and mysticism. So at this point, the spirits decided to attack me. This little girl in a white dress was no longer a little girl in a white dress, put it that way. And they would say horrible things to me, and it was really a difficult time. And yeah, a few weeks after this, I was sitting on my couch and I was singing a worship song, a praise song to God. And as I was sitting there and praising God, I all of a sudden felt this thing go off me and lift and go up. And it was a black, heavy, horrible thing that just lifted off me. And it went off and I cried and cried and cried because I knew that God had done that for me and he delivered me. I felt immediately better. And in the days following that, I heard the birds singing again. Sorry, it's making me emotional now. It was beautiful. So when you put faith in the Lord Jesus and submit to him as your Lord, your life gets better. When you focus on his will and not your own, your life gets better. Guess what? John 10:10, Jesus says, "The thief comes to steal and kill and destroy, and I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." It's true. I didn't need to seek anymore because God made me whole and my old self died and I was reborn of the Spirit of God. And he's been restoring what the devil stole from me all this time. God uses weak and foolish things, and I was foolish in the past, but he accomplishes his righteous and holy will through the weak things of the world, and those who are standing in their own power will fall. Nothing and no one, no powers or principalities, no devil or his followers, none of them can stand against Christ Jesus, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Mighty Rome, do you remember the Roman Empire? Even mighty Rome in such a short time bent its knees to Jesus Christ. Nothing can stand against Jesus Christ. Paul said, turn from sin and put on Jesus. Yeah? God's calling and God's purpose, that's what you're putting on. And if you receive, you know, if you do that, you're receiving the gift of the Holy Spirit as he promises. My life was transformed and so can yours be. Yeah, walk in unity with God inside his boundaries because the great shepherd is our protector as well. And no weapon formed against you will prosper. Jesus comes and rids your life of anything of hell and sin and death, and he brings abundant life, peace and truth. He says, come to me and I will give you rest, because there is a new owner in the house now, an owner who is pure love, who fills us like a cup running over with the Holy Spirit. And where there were earthly things before, there are heavenly things now. Amen. Amen. So if you've not submitted your life to God today, do it today. Let him rescue you and transform you. There are leaders here at SVC who would be pleased to pray with you as well. Come to him today and you can be free, because I'm a living testimony to his power and his grace. No sin is bigger than God. Amen. Nothing can separate us from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus. So may he forever be praised.